Brandon in West Bend, you're up next on Bucks Talk.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. Hey, everyone. The callers before me stole a couple of my things, but I'm going to reiterate kind of what they said. I do agree there's going to be a youth issue down the road. We have less draft picks and future drafts coming up. Also, we have money tied up with older players. So definitely youth is a problem that we're going to have, because in these championship teams, you got to have a good mix of both youth and veteran players. I also feel like, you know, obviously this team fell short. I thought they had more depth on this team compared to the championship team, but that obviously didn't show up in this series. Also, I was at the game tonight, and one of the callers was talking about the eyes of the players. They definitely were not motivated enough, and there was not enough intensity, you know, so I just feel like that was definitely something that played a role in losing this series against the C team. The last caller brought up the Giannis free throw issues. That's been an issue throughout his whole career, and I can't understand how he can't improve that part of his game, because if I was him, I honestly would be doing maybe, you know, at least 100 or more free throws in a gym, you know, every single night, and improve that part of my game, because that's like one of the weak spots in his game. And you mentioned he missed 13 out of 17 of those missed free throws. That's a lot. And the fact that we went to overtime, one extra free throw would have been, you know, the Bucks would have won. And obviously, that's not everything, but it goes to show how crucial those are, guinea points.
Well,
to that point,
not to cut
player.
You off, but, you know, look, to that point, we can harp on Giannis missing 13 free throws, and that is brutal to look at in a game that you lose by 2 points. But if we're going to talk about missed free throws, it really looms large when Jrue Holiday goes 1 of 2 on those last two free throws, because if you hit both of them, as he did on the trip prior, Miami has to go for a three, and that is with 2 seconds left. Look, Miami hit 17 threes in this game, but knowing they got to go for a three, that changes your defense, where you can put everybody out there on the perimeter and just say, look, contest but don't foul, and make sure it's an awkward shot they're getting up.
You know, back to 13, you know, 13 missed free throws, though, that's crazy. You know, those are gimme points, you know, and you're a basketball player, you play many years in the NBA, you got to hit those, you got to hit the majority of those, just like the last caller talked about. My main thing of this whole thing, I do think we need a coaching shakeup. I know, obviously, we won a title a couple years ago, but this was a major disappointment. You know, best record in the NBA, and then you lose 4 out of 5 of these games against an 8 seed. It's just unacceptable, in my opinion. And, you know, I'm going to be honest, throughout the whole entire series, they're deer in the headlights in the fourth quarter and on. Even in that game 2 where they won that game, and when the Heat sat all their starters, the bench players were coming back in that game. I'm surprised Coach Spoelstra didn't put his starters back in that game, because they could have potentially made it harder for us to win that second game. I do believe that he's the main reason. You know, no calling a timeout at the end of the game, with everyone has talked about. We don't even give a chance to draw up our best play. Did we even have a play drawn up and ready to go? It's hard to know. We're from Wisconsin, Milwaukee. We're born and raised blue collar workers. And if I was the coach of this team, I would make sure they're motivated enough. And hey, this is a win or go home game. And we had the best record in the NBA, everything on the line. And we need to show our fans like what we're motivated and ready to do. And we want to be a championship team. And they've just fell short. Just were not motivated enough to win this game. No urgency in the fourth quarter to close out teams. That falls on coaching.
Look, I'm not going to get into motivation and player effort or any of that, but you can't dispute the Bucks. Eric Spoelstra was the better coach in this series. He outcoached Mike Budenholzer.
Yeah, I agree.
And 100%. The Miami Heat were more prepared and adjusted and ready for everything the Bucks were throwing out there. It felt in a lot of ways like what we saw in the bubble. Something is going to happen. And look, I'm never going to come on here and advocate for somebody losing their job, for somebody to be traded. But something is going to happen, and it has to happen. You can't have the best record in basketball and lose in the first round. Not only lose in the first round, lose in the first round in five games without some type of change happening. It's the same type of thing we saw after they lost to the Miami Heat 3 years ago in the bubble, that prompted the trade to get Drew Holiday and try to majorly reshape the roster. The difference is between then and now is this roster isn't as malleable, and it's not going to be quite as easy to make some of those moves and adjustments and tinkering. And look, here's the other reality with Bud. He has won an NBA championship that I understand people are going to be calling for him to, well, you got to lose your job after you lose to the 8 seed. I get that part. He's won a title, and he won a title 2 years ago. And the other thing I mentioned earlier in the show that it is worth pointing out, it has now happened 6 times that a 1 seed has lost to an 8 seed in the first round of the playoffs. In those previous 5 instances, that team did not fire their head coach.
Then what is the main roster shakeup? Do you believe that's going to happen then? You know, what can we do with not much draft capital and then not much money to spend? And can we even keep a Brook Lopez who should have maybe won the Defensive Player of the Year award? You know, that's the side that I don't know about. What's the, you know, can we get a Dame Lillard? I doubt it. I wish we could get a Dame Lillard kind of player. But we don't have enough capital to swing that trade. We just have old veterans. You know, they're all good players. And nothing wrong, you know, nothing wrong with those guys. I feel like we had a great team, a great core that just totally fell short. Just the lack of urgency on this team. I don't know. I have to blame it on coaching, because if I was the coach of that team, I'd be make sure they're motivated to win that game, you know. And the fans, like I said, the fans here, we are diehards, and we've been through the rough years. And I was even going in tonight. I was like, Bucks in 7. I'm not worried about this. You know, we got this. We've been in this spot before. And it, you know, just fell flat. And it's been flat in the fourth quarter every single game. So something with coaching had to give there. They were not motivated enough to win. And, you know, throughout the regular season, they were. So something in that locker room, something's going on. And, you know, obviously I appreciate you taking the phone call, and I also, you know, they want the best record in the NBA, so it just sucks that we went out in this fashion. Losing 4 out of 5 games. Just crazy.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Brandon, and I can't dispute that, you know, this team was not prepared for this Miami Heat team. And I mentioned Giannis's comments earlier in the show, too, of basically alluding to, you know, we might have been looking ahead too much, and we were approaching this series playing to win an NBA championship, and the Miami Heat were in this series to beat us. 855-616-1620, the Old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight, this morning, I should say, on Bucks Talk, as we are still going here. I said, as long as you guys are calling in and listening, we will keep this show going, the season-ending edition, much earlier than we anticipated. A few more calls to get to as we wrap up a 128-126 overtime loss that sends the Bucks home for the rest of the summer, out in the first round in 5 games. More of your thoughts after this on Bucks Talk. He almost scored 200 points in this series. 42 more tonight, this after 56 on Monday in that Game 4 victory. Jimmy Butler was the best player in this series, which would naturally beg the question of, well, why wasn't Giannis defending him in those games he played in? Now, it is worth pointing out, Game 4, that's going to be a tough ask. Of, hey, Giannis, you're just coming back from this lower back contusion. Get out there and defend Jimmy Butler, who's been cooking this entire series. But after the loss tonight, Giannis was asked his thoughts. Should you have been defending Jimmy Butler?
Do you guys feel you think you made enough adjustments over Jimmy over the stretch of this series?
We didn't. I think Drew did his best, man. But at the end of the day, like, he gets tired. You know, he got to rebound the ball. He got to pass the ball. He got to score the ball. He got to guard Jimmy. Like, you get tired. You know, maybe we could have done some, I don't know, maybe double teaming more, try to make him pass the ball. Maybe, I don't know, switch the matchup for a little bit, give drew a break 2-3 minutes. But I don't think as a team we made the right, or we didn't make as many adjustments as we could against him.
So not surprising that Giannis said he was up for the challenge and wanted to and thought he should have defended Jimmy Butler. And it's tough to argue that Drew Holiday is voted by his peers the best perimeter defender in the league. He is one of the best overall defenders in the league. Jimmy Butler never looked uncomfortable against Drew Holiday for all five of these games. Wesley Matthews did a good job against Jimmy Butler. But again, you look at these numbers and you see what Jimmy Butler did. 98 points in these last two games to close out the Bucks, to push them to the brink of elimination and then officially eliminate them. Jimmy Butler was unstoppable all series long. It seemed like the Bucks were out of answers, but there was one card left to be played, and that was Giannis extensively defending him. We never saw it, and as we just heard from Giannis, he was certainly in favor of taking on that challenge. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank Talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk, this morning on Bucks Talk. Dennis in Milwaukee, you're up next.
Hey, good morning to you.
What's going on, Dennis?
Good morning. Yeah, I think back on how the series played out, and as soon as I'm thinking about their recent history in the playoffs. That first game I looked at as an aberration. They seem to have one of those in virtually every playoff series that they've been in recently. Okay, and that so like that one didn't matter. But as soon as they won the second game, I told a friend that night after the game, I said, they're in trouble. And he looked at me, they just won. I said, yeah, but they played the fourth quarter like they were looking to lose. They just didn't have that ability to kind of put their foot on the throat of the opponent and keep them down. And I said, that's going to come back to bite them. And I didn't want to be prophetic about that, but that's exactly what happened in 4 and 5. And I want to speak to that with one last point here, okay? I've done some coaching over the years in a variety of sports, and at grade school and high school level, which obviously doesn't make me a pro coach or anything. And I've always stressed fundamentals and the mechanics and then turning people loose and letting them play. And the thing that I think made a difference with what I was doing with these kids, I always had one mantra, and I passed this on to my kids as they started coaching. They both coach hockey, and they've coached hockey at collegiate and Olympic levels, okay? The mantra that I shared with my players is you better practice the way you want to play because you will play the way you want to practice, okay? However you practice, that's how you're going to end up playing. There is no switch just to turn on and off. And the reason why I say that, I think that same mantra carries over to the end of the season when they started resting people. You know, I don't think, yeah, you'd think just getting into the playoffs would be enough to get a person excited to be able to go on. But when you turn everything off, when you shut everything down for a while, to get it to come back at a high level, I don't think it's as easy as people believe, and I think we just saw that.
The start of the series, thanks for the call, Dennis. Start of the series certainly would point to that as well, as this team, they've always, I shouldn't say always, the last couple of years, we've seen this team struggle with extended layoff and coming back from that. That it takes, it's almost like an old car in the winter, and it takes a little bit of time for it to get warmed up and ready to go. I didn't think it was quite as bad as we've seen in the past to start this game in game one. The issue was, you know, the crowd had the wind taken out of the sails when Giannis went down and didn't return. And they didn't learn that until halftime. We were told during the game, hey, Giannis isn't coming back. But once you saw 34 wasn't out there, that took away a lot of the buzz in this game one. And to your point about game two, it in hindsight, it was very troubling. You're up by 36 at one point. You set an NBA record or matched an NBA record for three-pointers in a game with 25 of them. It should have been, hey, everything is coming up bucks here, right? But then Miami started to creep back in the fourth quarter, and you went from a 36-point lead, blowing them out, to, hey, let's run them off the floor. This is exactly how we wanted to respond, to winning the game by 16. And in that fourth quarter, you know, the first half of that game, where the Bucks scored 35 in the first quarter, 46 in the second quarter, that was the last time you really felt good about anything you saw in this series. Extensively, in the fourth quarter of that game, the Miami Heat scored 37 points. They outscored the Bucks by 17. And the players that were doing it, Duncan Robinson played all 12 minutes. It was all reserves that played the entire fourth quarter because the game was out of reach. And that group outplayed you and won by 17. Duncan Robinson, 5 of 7 from the field, hit 4 threes, scored 14 points in the fourth quarter. Victor Oladipo started to score in the fourth quarter. Haywood Highsmith, Cody Zeller. Like, these were the guys that were hitting 14 of 21 in that quarter for the Miami Heat, and 8 of 10 on threes. That was the problem. And frankly, fourth quarters, the entire series were the problem for the Bucks. 37 points in that fourth quarter in the ultimate loss, or win, I should say. 37 points that you gave up there. In game one, that was the only game where you really held them at bay, winning that fourth quarter 29-28. You know, what the Heat did tonight in the fourth quarter, that was really the story of the game, to force overtime and do what they did, thanks to Jimmy Butler, who scored 14 in the fourth quarter. Miami scored 32, outscoring you 32-16. It was a matter of your offense disappearing and everything that worked in the previous two quarters, where I mentioned during the game, shooting started to cool off for Miami. They scored 50 total points in the second and third quarter, and here they come for 32, but holds you to 16 in that fourth. Of course, what they did 2 days ago on Monday to put you on life support was far more troubling in that fourth quarter, where Miami scored 41 points. And 30 of those came in the final 6 minutes of the game. The way the Heat close games in this is going to tell a lot about this series. Jimmy Butler's performance is certainly one of them. The way the Miami Heat bench played is another big part. But they won every fourth quarter but one, and that one that they did not win, they lost by 1 point. That is one of the big stories of this series. Jesse in California, you're up next on Bucks Talk. Hello, Jesse. All right, let's go to Southside James. You're up next. What's going on, James?
Yeah, I think that the Bucks during the regular season had the drive and the hunger to win the games and to be the number one seed. But I think, like you were just saying, I think that that the game where they did the 25 three-pointers and that made a statement. I think the statement was good for that game, but I don't think that they had the drive, the hunger, and the attitude to move through the rest of this thing here. I think that they lost it. They weren't hungry. They weren't hungry in attitude, and that like they were 2 years ago when they played. They meant it. They were out there doing that. They were out there winning games. They were out there showing, hey, we want this title. I think they overlooked Miami here and said, well, we're it's going to be easy. It's going to be a doggone wash, and we're going to move on to the second and third and fourth rounds, you know, type of thing. But it didn't happen. It blew up in their face.
I mentioned the comment from Giannis, too, that kind of alluded to that of, you know, we were focused on winning the championship and maybe a little less focused on the Heat, and they were not. As someone else pointed out, and I agree, I can go along with that to an extent. I mean, that explains a game or two in this series. I don't know that that explains five games. That at some point, you know, you found yourself in a fight, and the guy standing across from you has punched you in the face a couple of times. Like, at some point, you realize I'm in a fight, and you get into fight or flight. That it shouldn't be, holy cow, was that a fight? So I get for a game or two to drop it and say, well, maybe we weren't really focused on Miami. But Miami was ready for everything the Bucks were doing. And to that point that Giannis made, I agree that Miami was ready for the Bucks. They had prepared for the Bucks. And again, Miami knew when they lost that game on Tuesday, the first day of the play-in tournament, when they lost that game to the Hawks, obviously you got to prepare for the Raptors or Bulls, but you know ultimately you approach that thinking we're going to win, and hey, we're playing the Milwaukee Bucks, and they can start to prepare for that, and where do we have an advantage? What can we take advantage of? And it looked every bit that in this series.
It's kind of sad, ain't it?
To
see a Marquette player, Jimmy Butler, go and, like you just said, in five games to almost score 200 points and just, like, push his will on the Dargan team and nobody really doing anything about it, really. It was kind of like Butler there. He was just he was like laughing at us like you can't really defend me, whether you put Giannis or you put Drew or Middleton or whatever it is on him, that he's going to score. He's making the points. Sure, he might miss a few buckets here or there, or free throws here or there, but he was he seemed like he was the leader. He was the drive of that team.
He certainly was. Thanks for the call, James. Sad, I don't know. I think more stunning is the way the one word to sum this up. To lose as the one seed in the first round to a team that was in the play-in tournament, and not only that, you were dominated in this series. You lost in five games as the number one overall seed in the first round of the playoffs. Larry in Slinger, you're up next.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. The thing that bothered me most, and it really upset me tonight, was, and even the whole series, Holiday, the first game, starts out covering Butler, and it didn't work. And the coach never adjusted. You know, you mentioned Giannis potentially covering Butler. I really think, you know, in the first half, Matthews did a good job covering. And Matthews is a little bigger than Drew. And I really think I was so happy when he came in the fourth quarter. And I'm like, okay, now we got a chance to stop Butler. But Matthews didn't cover Butler. He covered Vincent. And, you know, Drew is a great defensive player. I'm not criticizing him. But that matchup did not work. And it didn't work the first game, and it didn't work through the whole series. And what upsets me most is that the coach never adjusted. He didn't realize. And how can you not realize that was not a good matchup? You know, that's what it just upset me so much, and it still does.
It was tough to process as it was happening, and I, during the game, kept track of the touches Jimmy Butler had and who was on him, and wanted to keep track of doubles because everything we had heard, obviously the questions about, hey, would you consider double teaming him? And it did seem as though the Bucks kind of tinkered with that a bit in practice. So I wanted to track how many times they were going to flash a double or double team Jimmy Butler, and what matchups was that going to come in. So if they doubled him, how many times was it that Drew Holiday was the defender or the primary guy, or Chris Middleton, etc.? By my count here, there was 44 touches from Jimmy Butler with the ball initiating offense, and there were zero double teams. and it was basically Wesley Matthews and Drew Holiday taking the majority of those possessions defending Jimmy Butler, which is exactly what you want with that group. But to your point, it just goes to show you, look, these are the two guys we think are doing the best job on him. We didn't see a whole lot of Giannis. And again, it was three times, basically, that Giannis was on Jimmy Butler. Two of those were on a switch. These are the guys we think are best equipped to stop Jimmy Butler. Drew Holiday was the primary defender on Jimmy, 24 touches out of that. Wesley Matthews was 13 touches. So it was mostly Drew, and then Wesley got a lot as well. He scored 42 points. It didn't matter who you were throwing on him. As good as Wesley Matthews is, as good as Drew Holiday is, Jimmy Butler struggles with size. You got to go under screens, and Giannis, you know, what worked so well 2 years ago was Giannis could go under the screens, and he still has length to disrupt. Jimmy Butler back then wasn't going to take a lot of threes. Jimmy Butler's still not a good three-point shooter. What he did in this series is absolutely astounding from the outside, but you can go under the screens with length and still kind of get in his face there and make him uncomfortable. But overall, you know, those mid-range shots, those baseline shots, the turnaround jumpers, as long as you're not biting for the pump fake and the head fake, it's tough to get that shot off over size, and that's not what Drew Holiday or Wesley Matthews have. So to me, I was surprised that at this point, five games into the series, not so much we want Drew and Wes to defend him because I get that, but I was more surprised you didn't see any type of wrinkles or different looks.
Well, you know, you said Matthews had him on 13 touches. How many points did Butler score on Matthews?
I didn't keep track of the points scored. I got to go back and rewatch the game, which is not going to be a very fun rewatch. But Matthews, I thought, did a better job. I thought Wesley Matthews, again, was very good on Jimmy Butler. That a couple of those, you know, times, we saw it in game one as well, that Wes just knows Jimmy Butler from playing in the league so long, and that relationship that he has with Jimmy. Wes was the guy getting the ball loose and raking it loose and causing those steals. I thought Wesley Matthews was the more reliable guy on Jimmy Butler tonight.
I think he was way better, you know, and I've seen this, and it bugged the heck out of me when they played Brooklyn a couple of years ago, and the defense against the high pick and roll was just by the Bucks was terrible.
Yeah.
And Durant kept getting open. The center would come out, set a pick on the guard, and they had the center sitting in the middle of the lane, and all of a sudden, you know, within a few seconds, Durant had a 15-footer wide open, yeah, and he made almost all of them. And the coach never adjusted to it. Even the guys on the talk, you know, like Shaq and those guys, mentioned how ridiculous the Bucks' defense was, and they kept doing the same thing over and over again. And I just don't know. You know, I'm not calling for the coach to get fired, but man, I can't believe he didn't adjust to this. What was, you know, keeping Drew as the primary guy on Butler. Because it just didn't work, you know. And five games in, you should know as a coach this isn't working, you know, and you should make an adjustment. So, anyway, that's all I really called to say.
Thanks for the call, Larry. It's the definition of insanity to expect a different result at this point. And look, we kind of joked about this before the game, but, you know, a lot of what you would hear Bucks fans saying was, well, you hope Jimmy Butler can't possibly keep doing this. Like, he can't continue to be this hot, and you hope he cools off. But the reality is this. Hope is not a strategy. You have to do something about that. You have to be an active participant in your own rescue. So simply saying, well, we think by the numbers he's not going to shoot 50% every single game. We think he's not going to continue to average 38 points a game. That's great, but what are you going to do to make sure that's not the case? And I'm not going to question how prepared the Bucks were for this. I'm not going to question the game plan. But it is fair to question, well, what was plan B? B because we saw plan A. You were the team that was healthier. We saw how you wanted to begin this. It didn't work. We knew that well into game three, and it was painfully obvious in game four. That's the frustrating part, is it was the same approach, basically just daring the Miami Heat to, like, hey, keep giving it to Jimmy. We don't think he can keep this up. And the other part is, when Jimmy Butler scored 56 points, and I said this too, but you heard a lot of, well, at some point, you have to double-team Jimmy Butler. Get the ball out of his hands and say, look, if we're going to lose, it's going to be because Duncan Robinson is hitting shots, or because Caleb Martin is hitting shots, or Bam Adebayo starts hitting shots. Like, it has to be somebody else. Jimmy Butler was great tonight. Guess who else was? Kyle Lowry hit some big shots. Kevin Love hit some big shots. Bam Adebayo took 20 shots. Max Strus had that play late. Gabe Vincent started this game incredible. His teammates hit shots tonight. So to that point, it wasn't just the Jimmy show. The Miami Heat were the better team in this series. They were the better team by a wide margin, and that's the difficult part of this. That is the tough pill to swallow, is this team was built to win a championship. This is an older team. This is the oldest team in the league as presently constructed. And windows don't remain open forever. You know, you don't have a 2-year window. You don't have a 3-year window necessarily. But it's not a decade-long thing. And as long as you have number 34 playing like an MVP, and look, we've talked about Giannis's play tonight. We've talked about Giannis's play all season long on this show. It is fair to say Giannis was not quite as good as he was last year. That doesn't mean Giannis isn't a good player. That doesn't mean he's not an MVP caliber player. His body work last year was better. And when you look at tonight, Giannis wasn't good in the fourth quarter. And that's another difficult part about processing this loss, is the Miami Heat had the best player in this series. And for the last 3 years, that is not something you could say.
Another call.
For the most part, every single series the Bucks have played in since Mike Budenholzer arrived, you could really only point to two where you didn't have the better player. Kawhi Leonard was the best player in that series in the conference finals in 2019. Jimmy Butler, that name comes up again. Jimmy Butler was probably the best player in that series in the bubble 3 years ago. And Jimmy Butler was definitely the best player in the series this year. Giannis, you can make a strong case. Giannis was the best player in the series last year when you lost to the Boston Celtics. It is a rarity that you have number 34 and he's not the guy. But that's what the Bucks ran into this year. Jimmy Butler was that guy. 855-616-1620. Randy in Racine, you're up next.
Hi. I'm up late listening to you and enjoying your talk, but I see the way I see it, and I'm a super novice, so you can correct me if I'm wrong. I listen because I love Giannis. I love his character, the way he plays, where he came from. And so I don't blame him, but as I sit and enjoy the game every night and listen to you guys, I just listen because I just enjoy the Bucks. But I think that the reason they lost, it's very plain to me as a novice that they were outcoached, and they were really outcoached. And one point is at the end, he never thought there'd be a guy under the basket for the 2-point, which I think is a huge flaw and a huge failure, because the Miami Heat was way ahead psychologically, and they were winning and beating, and they didn't need three. They only needed a 2 to tie, because they knew they'd beat him in overtime
I'll say this, and we had somebody else bring it up earlier. I don't fault Bud for that because of the personnel the Heat had on the floor. And 20 seconds prior, we saw Jimmy Butler go for 3 and go for the kill shot. And that's what Miami wanted to do. They didn't want overtime. They wanted to end this here And it's not the whole, well, if you win tonight, the pressure's on Miami. No, the pressure's still on you because you're the one seed and they're the eight seed. But Miami wanted to end this. So when they put their personnel on the floor that was going to be a perimeter-based team, I don't fault Bud for taking Brook Lopez off the floor because, again, if you keep him out there and Miami gets him in a pick-and-roll or Miami gets him on the perimeter and hits a three-pointer where Brook Lopez is tasked with defending somebody out there, the conversation is much more vile about Bud and well, why would you keep Brook Lopez out there when you had all guards out there for Miami? So I get why he did that. I was surprised Miami attacked where they did. I thought for sure they would get a three. But look, there are so many things we could point to from this. The missed free throws. And if Drew Holiday hits both free throws, then Miami has to go for a three. And that's not a conversation. But it was one thing another, to your point about the coaching.
Yeah, well, that's just one of the things with the coaching. He didn't I have felt for several years, even when they won, I felt that the team won in spite of the coach and not because of the coach. Because you have Giannis and the other guys, they really played awesome a couple years ago. And it was like they didn't need to. The only thing I've seen different in this series was you had a better team. Budenholzer had a better bench, and he had a better starting team. And so when you come down to it, he was out-coached. He didn't make changes. He didn't make – and I'm a novice. I mean, I'm a 61-year-old, you know, novice. I just listen to the basketball because I like it. I don't know anything about, you know, contracts and, you know, all the stuff that you're talking about is stuff I have no idea. I just felt like the team was not steered by their coach. And they're a team, but the coach is there for a reason, and it's not just to stand there and let the team lose. And the team got crushed. You know why they came back each fourth quarter? Because they came back from 36 down to 16. They weren't worried about 11. They weren't worried about 16. They already had come back 20 points, even when they lost. Yeah. You know, and there needed to be adjustments, there weren't adjustments, and it was very difficult for me to listen tonight because I was screaming at the radio, why don't you do something about it? You know, even at the end, the number one thing that should have happened was at the very end with the 10 seconds left, there should have been a timeout. A play called, give it your best shot. You're a better coach. You coach, you come up with a better tactic. You come up with a play, and you go for it. That's all I can say is the team was better. The team was way better than the Miami Heat. They should have won, and they looked past them. They weren't ready, and they looked past them like the two kings. One come on the battlefield, and he said, I'm going to whoop your butt. And the other guy said, you're talking like you're dismounting your horse after the battle. And the battle hasn't even started. So they looked past Miami and thought they were going to be 2-3, you know, rows down. And they did. They just looked past them. And they got crushed. Four games. You know, they played five games, and they're supposed to be the number one seed. They didn't play like they played this year. And I enjoyed them this year. I really did. But they did not play. They were not ready. And I don't think they were coached well. As a novice, that's my opinion.
Yeah, it was certainly a tough one to process, Randy. Thanks for the call. That, you know, again, I'm not going to harp on those Giannis comments, but he alluded to, we may have looked past this team. It still doesn't explain five games, you know, in football. When it's a one-and-done type of situation, you get it then. But you should have had the wake-up call at some point. And frankly, that should have been on Saturday. And we thought that was the case. You were in the driver's seat to tie that series on Monday night. The Bucks had been one of the best teams in the league all throughout the regular season when taking a lead into the fourth quarter. You watch in consecutive games leads of 11 and 16 after three quarters result in losses. I mean, that is the reality of this situation, is they did not execute as we've seen in the past. And when you take an 11-point lead in the fourth, when you take a 16-point lead into the fourth, it's 12 minutes. There's still a lot of time and a lot of things can happen. But that 16-point lead, you know, you can't start the fourth quarter surrendering an 8-0 run and taking 4 minutes to score and making just 3 field goals in the quarter. On Monday, you can't have a 12-point lead midway through the quarter and lose that in 3 minutes and ultimately lose the game. That's going to be the tough part to process, is you felt like you built a championship caliber roster, and maybe, look, maybe it never was, and maybe this group was not going to be good enough. If you got past Miami, maybe you would have ran into the same issues with Jalen Brunson and the New York Knicks. I think everybody had serious concerns over a potential matchup with either the 76ers or the Boston Celtics, based off what we've seen in both of those matchups. You split the season series with Philly, but you were trounced, absolutely trounced by the Boston Celtics in all of those games. And the only game you won was a game where none of their regulars played, and you needed every minute of that game to win. So maybe the roster was never quite as good as we thought, but the frustrating part is you were the one seed. You were the one seed, you were the more talented team, and you had those games that you can look at. You hit 25 threes in game two. You're up 36 points. You should have won game four. You should have won tonight. This should be 3-2 Bucks heading to Miami for a chance to close it out, but close it out. The three biggest words there. The Bucks could not close anything out in this series. You got to play for 48 minutes. It was 42 minutes of pretty solid play in game number four. And tonight it was probably 35, 36 minutes out of a 53-minute game where you felt like, okay, we played pretty well and we were the better team. It wasn't enough. And that's the tough part about this draw. It is a very, very, very good coach in Eric Spoelstra, maybe the best in the league, that you are looking at on the other sideline. Playoff Jimmy is a real thing. And again, it's not so much this that's the holy cow. To me, the holy cow in Jimmy Butler's career is, how the heck did the Bucks hold him to 58 points in a four-game series when they swept the Heat 2 years ago? It's a roster full of tough, smart, gritty guys that have been in a lot of playoff battles and know how to win in the postseason. It was the ultimate worst-case scenario in terms of a 1-versus-8 draw, and it ultimately bit the Bucks. And here we sit with their season over. April 26th, the season comes to an end as the Miami Heat take them down in 5 games in this best-of-7 series. That's the tough part of all this, is, again, windows. When do windows close? We don't know. How long are they open? But they're not open forever. And you got an aging roster. You're going to have to figure out what to do differently. I don't have the answers there. It's not going to be easy. You have a whole lot of cap constraints. You still have Giannis, and that is going to give you a chance, regardless of what you put around him. We saw a team that wasn't quite as talented. Bud's first year here. Win 60 games and get to the conference finals, losing to this Kyle Lowry, Kawhi Leonard, a very, very good Toronto Raptors team. As long as you have Giannis, he's one of those guys, you have him on your roster at this level. I know you had him earlier and this wasn't the case, but at this level, if you got this Giannis, you're going to win 48 games, if not more. At least. He's that good. But you leave this series with some serious soul searching. And what changes do we have to make? Is it roster-based? Is it scheme-based? Is it philosophy-based? What do we have to do? But we can't keep doing the same thing. You're left with those same... Well, not those, but you left with that soul-searching 3 years ago in the bubble. And that led you to bring in Drew Holiday. And possibly more, as we thought there was in that offseason, that didn't come to be. But it led you to make a move to say, okay, here's how we did it previously. We got to shift. We were the deep team. We need the playoff team. And Drew Holiday's a playoff guy. And now we've seen this iteration of the Bucks for 5 years with Bud. The core that's been in place. You've seen tinkering for the last couple of years. But now it's starting to feel like, okay, I mentioned those windows and runs only last so long. This is 5 years of this group. When you look at Giannis and Chris and Drew and Brooke, you did get a championship. But sometimes things go stale. And that's going to be the tough part for John Horst is how do we prevent this from going stale? And what are those moves that we need to make? And it's going to be a very, very fascinating offseason for this team for a number of reasons. You know, Chris Middleton can opt out. He can decline his player option and become a free agent. Even if he does, I don't think that means Chris Middleton is leaving, or I don't think that guarantees Chris Middleton leaves. Brooke Lopez is going to be a free agent. In the past, Brooke Lopez has been very vocal about wanting to finish his career here. But the difficult part is, you know, this isn't baseball. This isn't, all right, just get rid of that player and bring in somebody else. The way the salary cap is, teams like the Bucks, you know, once the new CBA goes into effect as well, you can't bring in Joe Ingles. You won't have a mid-level exception when you're a tax team. You can't trade up picks that far in advance, and those are the picks that the Bucks have to trade. You gave up 5 second-round picks for Jay Crowder. It didn't work out, and those are the assets the Bucks have to make moves. So there's a lot of things that were ultimately worst-case scenario for the Bucks this season. And again, that's the tough part of losing in the first round when you have Giannis on your team. Didn't expect to be here recapping the season on April 27th, the morning of April 27th. We did not expect this to be the case. But this season comes to an end inside of Fiserv Forum as the Miami Heat stunned the Bucks overall, but the further this series went on, the less stunning this result is. The Miami Heat move on to the second round of the playoffs. I would imagine most of our fans out there have very little interest in keeping up with the postseason now, but it does set up a very, very interesting Eastern Conference playoffs from here on out. We'll have the Heat and the New York Knicks, and that series will begin on Sunday. That's the other bummer in all of this is we don't get to experience Giannis in Madison Square Garden during the playoffs. And look, here's the other part. Mentioned earlier in the show, the importance of the one seed this season was simply to avoid having to go through both Philadelphia and Boston. It feels like Philly has been one of those rivals on paper for the Bucks for years, and Giannis versus Joel Embiid has treated us to some incredible regular season matchups through the years. It kind of feels like the Bucks and Sixers have always been on this collision course every single year to finally match up in the playoffs, and we have still yet to see it with these iterations of the team, Giannis versus Joel Embiid. But it's the Miami Heat that end the Bucks season. The Heat and the Boston Celtics, the two teams in the Giannis era that the Bucks have drawn the most in the postseason and have been the biggest thorns in the Bucks' side, eliminating the Bucks in the first round, the Boston Celtics did, the final year before Mike Budenholzer arrived in Milwaukee, and then, of course, the second round exit last year in the Miami Heat now, eliminating the Bucks in the bubble, eliminating the Bucks in the first round this season. I don't have the answers, but I do expect some things to change. Whether that's behind the scenes, whether that's players on the court, it's the reality of this league. Things never stay the same, especially when you fall short of your goal. As we heard from Giannis, it doesn't make it a failure. it's not as black and white as to say, look, 29 teams fail, one succeeds. But when you fall short of that goal, you make changes, and things just don't stay the same year in, year out. So I do expect it to be a busy and interesting offseason for the Bucks. And look, the other thing is this. We don't always know what's going on behind the scenes. I'm not talking about moves in the offseason. I'm talking about day-to-day and games. And you hear, well, these guys weren't ready for this. It didn't seem like these guys were prepared. These guys are human beings, and we don't know what's going on behind the scenes and in their personal life. I mean, I can speak for experience with myself, and I think all of you can relate as well. When you got stuff that's going on in your personal life, it's not exactly as easy to stay locked in. I'm not making excuses for this team. You're still the one seed. It's a tough pill to swallow to lose in the first round as the one seed. A number of things went into this. A number of things. It's not just Jimmy Butler. It's not just the Miami Heat. Certainly give credit to both of those groups there, or to Jimmy Butler and to the Heat. But this was a number of things that culminated with a first-round exit as this Bucks season comes to an end on the home floor this year in five games in a best-of-seven series to the Miami Heat. We will wrap up the show and the season after this on Bucks Talk.
No way they can stop me now, daddy, 'cause I'm on my way. I can feel my ring coming. It's the blood of a champion. Falling deep inside my veins. Too much pride to be running. I'm gonna get what
128-126, the final here from Fiserv Forum. It is the Miami Heat winning this game and winning this series, eliminating the Bucks from the playoffs in the first round here on a night where Jimmy Butler was absolutely incredible once again. A playoff performance for the ages in this series for Butler as he poured in 42 points tonight. And the Miami Heat, as the eighth seed for the sixth time in NBA history, eliminate a one seed in the first round of the playoffs. I do want to see if we can get a season-end show. I know we did quite a bit of time tonight. Tommy, what time did we start this show?
We have been on the air since 12:30. 12:30 is when we started Bucks Talk today.
I feel like I got another 2 hours in me to take us all the way up to Wisconsin's morning news.
It hasn't been bad. It hasn't been a bad 2 hours, but for sure.
It's a ringing endorsement. boy, we did the show the last day of the regular season. This is like when you play somebody online in video games and you just want to get up and reset it. That's how this series felt really after Saturday when it was just, can we just start over? We both had the Miami Heat as the seventh seed. My prediction and the Tommy Wirtz projections, the TWP.
TWPs, yeah.
What did the TWPs have for this series?
I would have probably thought this was backwards. I would have thought Milwaukee in five felt pretty good. Maybe you lose one in Miami. Once game four happened, I think a lot shifted. That one was pretty rough. The confidence shifted a lot. I think I was scaling 1 to 10 when Brian Noonan asked me on nights. I was sitting at a 1 after we were down 2-1. It shifted to a 9 on the scared scale after that very quickly. So I was nervous coming into today. It felt better, but you knew after seeing game 4 that no lead was safe. And sure enough, it was another historic collapse, an infamous historic collapse for the Bucks in the fourth quarter today.
Yeah, and I'm just rewatching the final sequence of the game.
Heck of a shot from Jimmy. I mean, and you know what? He was just hot the whole series, and that's a shot that guys who are making history make. So while it's annoying to kind of let it come down to that, there's plenty of other events that happened throughout that shouldn't have led to that moment.
I'm watching the final possession of overtime, and So our vantage point is on the opposite end when of where the camera view is.
Sure.
And, boy, that it's still tough to lose this game, to go down with one in the chamber and Grayson Allen not getting a shot off to close this thing out. I mean, it was, with the benefit of seeing the replay, it was a good job of contesting the closeout by Gabe Vincent, but Grayson Allen got a step on him. Boy, he should have shot it there. Jimmy Butler's... That seemed like a blocking foul on Giannis when he cut off the drive, but
there was another one that was worse when Chris got called for a loose ball.
It wasn't a great whistle throughout the course of this game, but again, that's not why the Bucks lost. But the funny thing is, it was probably to the Bucks' benefit that Jimmy Butler was not called for a blocking foul, and you didn't have to reset, or I can't recall at this point of what the foul situation was. If the Heat were over the limit, and it would have meant Giannis goes to the line to tie it up with a couple of seconds left. But this was an incredible playoff performance from Jimmy Butler, and that's the unfortunate part here is the Bucks season comes to an end much earlier than any of us anticipated. Before I wrap up here, I do want to thank a list of people. Jesse Nelson, Hunter Vaughn, Max Meyerson, Isaac Marquardt, Evan Witalison, Chris Larson, Justin Pottinger, Riley on the board for us tonight in Madison, Tommy Wirtz, that entire group for their work behind the scenes on this show throughout the course of the season and helping this show stay on the air and get on the air. My thanks to them. My immense thanks to everybody for tuning in to this show all season long and interacting with us on the program. We've been around a couple of years doing this show. But it felt like a lot of you started to get the show a lot more this year and interact with us quite a bit. So my thanks to everybody for sticking around after each and every game and interacting with us on this program since October and all throughout the course of this season. There will be another game. It just won't be for 5 months more as the Bucks season comes to an end tonight at the hands of Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat in this best of seven series, losing 4-1. We'll find out the schedule at some point in August, and from there, we will tackle the new season. Again, I don't expect this group to be constructed just as it was for this series and for this game. You can expect some type of change. Is it massive? Is it minor? That remains to be seen, but it is going to be a fascinating offseason for the Milwaukee Bucks. My thanks to Tommy and Riley on the board tonight and to everybody that tuned in and stuck with us for the last nearly 3 hours. We will talk once again next season with more Bucks talk.